At that time, now he hasn't stood up yet, but at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Notice again two things. Thy people are the Jewish people. We are not reading church truths in this section. The church doesn't appear in Daniel in any form. Don't try to find it there. You'll find saints, they will be Jewish saints. They will be in, we know from Revelation, on some of the things, but Daniel didn't know them as what we call church saints. In Daniel's time, there was no such thing as a church as we know it. The church that we know is made up of over 95% Gentile people, a very small percentage Jewish now, though the early church was practically all Jewish in the first short period. And Michael hasn't stood up yet for Daniel's people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This will be the Jewish resurrection. Notice at that time. Seemingly this phase of the resurrection will take place at the end of the tribulation. Now the resurrection of the church will begin back here at the first rapture. This will be the out resurrection. It will be because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep you from that hour of trial which shall come upon all the world to try those that dwell on the earth. And then the church will go to heaven in various segments. And then down in here, Israel will be resurrected. It will yet be one resurrection. Now people will say, well, then you believe in several resurrections. No, Jesus was the first fruits of the first resurrection. You know that. And there will be other segments. Like, let's just think for a moment. The two witnesses will be killed. Well, they'll be way down into the seventh week, or the last week, I mean to say, not the 70th week, the last week. But being killed, they will be raised from the dead. The 15th chapter shows some that will get the victory over the beast. Personally, I feel that they will be raised from the dead. But this pictures Israelitish people. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. I'll give you a different translation, if I don't forget it, on this section next week, if Jesus tarry. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now I trust that the deeper truths will grip your heart, and I trust that you will concentrate on the coming of the Lord and being in the out resurrection, as Paul pressed so strenuously toward the mark in Philippians 3. But don't ever forget that he that winneth souls is wise. What a marvelous thing when a soul is saved. And the songwriter said, if some soul can, that to me then can say, I am glad you passed my way, or it was you that told me of the sinner's friend. Paul said, what is my joy, our crown of rejoicing, are not even ye? In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The two witnesses will shine. I do not, now in my thinking, at least in part, the 144,000 will be a part of their ministry, the results of their ministry. They'll shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Going to be a good thing. But thou, Daniel, shut up the book, words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This, many shall run to and fro, means to lash the sea with oars, the word fro. It means to push forward, and it means to travel to and fro. And I was in Denver last Saturday morning, and I went out to the airport to catch a plane, and a couple came in and sat down by the side of me. And I said to her, I knew the plane was going to Kansas City. I said, going to Kansas City? Yes. Do you live there? No, we live over in Weston. That's where I live. I knew her when she told me she was a doctor's nurse there, and I knew her. Travel is surely an interesting thing. I sat in a hotel in Jamaica one time, and there were people there from Central America, from just all over. And going into an airport, especially an international airport, there will be people from all over the world. I met a woman on the plane one time from Hungary. I met one from India that was going to Central America. I met another woman on a plane that was from India going to Spain. I met a man on a plane going to Greece. And it's amazing the amount of travel that there is in our day. Did you know people just don't think much about going by ship anymore? That's too slow. And people don't think much about going by bus anymore. That's too slow. And I take this as a sign that is overlooked very much. Two things. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The knowledge of the Word of God has been increased, but it has been said now that knowledge is doubling every 15 years. I was in a filling station in Tulsa, Oklahoma one time, and I met a young man that had been in that great technical school of the East. I can't call the name of it now, and he was on his way to California Tech. And he said, electronically, knowledge is advancing so fast that you can't keep up. And the difference, how far we have come in the past few years. In 1940, I had never seen a home dryer or an automatic washing machine. I had never seen a home freezer. They just weren't. Somebody did tell me about a woman over in St. Louis that had an automatic washer. Just such simple things as that. The conveniences in the home that we have. The difference in automobiles. I went to India in 1955. I left Tulsa. We landed in New York, Nova Scotia. We landed in Ireland, France, Switzerland, Rome, Greece, Egypt, and India. My wife and a couple of grandsons went to Germany not too long ago. We caught a plane in Chicago and landed in Frankfurt, Germany. And I suppose if they had wanted to, they could have gone much further. Just the difference in planes. Rockets. We had read comic books about them, but they just hadn't. They didn't exist yet. And in 45, we popped off a couple or three atom bombs and persuaded Japan to get out of the army, or out of the fight, out of the war. Brought them to a standstill. And the advances that have been made in knowledge and the rapidity with which it is being made. The research that has been done medicinally. So many vaccines that we have now that we didn't have then. A doctor said about a man a certain time ago who was real sick. He said, we believe we can keep him alive for so many years. And he said, by that time, we'll probably have a cure for this. At that time, it was incurable. An incurable disease is one for which men haven't found a cure. But the research goes on at all times. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. Before going on here, let me say this. Whether you look at signs or not, be ready for the coming of the Lord. I should be ready for the coming of the Lord if the signs indicated that he wouldn't be here for 1,000 years. I should try to be ready for the coming of the Lord now, not wait until I am persuaded that I see a sign, and then get ready. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be accomplished. Now, as I stated a while ago, the beast will begin his reign. Get myself at this point 250 days before the middle of the week, and here he will be destroyed. He will reign 1200 from this point to this point is 1260 days on your chart. Consult a sheet of paper with the instructions on it. This is the middle of the week, and the Antichrist will reign this long. We'll show you later why those days will be, well, remember in Matthew 24, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, it seems strange that 250 days could make that much difference. I think I told you once that in 1958, 8 or 59 in the Scientific American, there was a book review that was, the book was written by two scientists. And they said a long atomic war would be 30 days long. A short atomic war would be 3 days. And it said if we're hit first, we will lose 15 million people the first day. And when it is over, that the only part of America that would be inhabitable would be the mountains and the deserts. And it further stated that we would have possibly 80 million people left, and the question mark would be, would they have a will, would they desire to live? With all the cities destroyed and uninhabitable, that is, because of the atomic conditions. Now that was the view, not of a calamity crier, but of two scientists as far back as over 20 years. So you see, a few days can make a great difference. We're talking, placing our warheads out in Wyoming. I was up within 100 miles of Cheyenne just the other day. Denver is 100 miles from Cheyenne. And if these things were to start falling, and you know that if Jesus tarry, more and more nations are going to develop atomic power. And for reasons that are satanic, they develop destructive power. And you can also see that if we just started shooting each other with these. Now you think, on Labor Day, 1939, Germany marched into Poland. There was a mutual assistance pact with England and France. They were into it right away. The Low Countries capitulated, France surrendered, British was pushed off the continent, and in December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese hit us at Pearl Harbor. Now in those 2 years, practically the entire world was at war, and we didn't have atomic power at that time until approximately the end of the war. In fact, it was the two atom bombs that seemed to bring Japan to her knees. So you see what can happen in a very short time. The Russians have said now that these warheads can travel so fast that we're establishing, that it makes a much greater chance of atomic war, because one of them goes off intentionally or accidentally, it hits Russia, and they don't know whether it's an accident or not, so they retaliate, and so we're all in. Well, that's why the shortening of this period will be very important. I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now we won't have time to enlarge on this tonight, but notice this now. We read of 1,260 days, but here's 1,290 days, and notice two special marks. Notice the daily sacrifice. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, we learn from Daniel 9:27, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. Now, we know from this that the abomination of desolation will be set up in the middle of the week. But here we get a date going back 1,290 days, 30 days before the beginning of the week. Perhaps as a condition, he will have them give up their daily sacrifice. Now the daily sacrifice, according to Exodus, was a lamb that was offered, one in the morning and one in the evening. Now he will probably let them keep their other feasts. Notice this in the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse again. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Notice the sacrifice and the oblation. Now he will probably at this time request that the daily sacrifice be given up, and they will give it up. But he will permit them perhaps to keep some of their feasts and some of their sacrifices. And at this point, when he sets up his image in the temple, that will be where he will demand worship. He will make all sacrifice to cease at that time, and his image will be set up there at that time, and all Jewish sacrifices will cease. Now this is how we know the Jews will start their sacrifices again. There are a number of texts. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. To the Jew, there was one holy place. That was in a temple in Jerusalem. Not, I've heard it said it was the pulpit. Well, that isn't the holy place. So we will touch on this more at a coming hour. Then there is another date that is given. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. That reaches down to this point, way down into this. This is the 75-day period. That's the period. Now I'm giving you our own cue there. I don't even see my line on that. The Great Tribulation runs in here. The beast reigns here. And the notable day of the Lord. That's when the notable, the terrible phase of the judgment of the Lord, the day of the Lord comes in. When the Antichrist and the ten kings and all the powers are overthrown. Now we can't quite imagine what it would be like. The terrible anarchy that would reign if suddenly the president and all the generals and the highway patrol and the National Guard and the army and the navy, in other words, all restraint would be broken. It would be a time of unparalleled anarchy. Later years believed they were Antichrist, and on down to our time, there were those that believed that Franklin Roosevelt was the Antichrist. There were those that believed that Mussolini and Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. And I read a book a few years ago of an Oriental that was the Antichrist. Well, there are many Antichrists, but there is the Antichrist, and he hasn't come yet. And I'm not too concerned about him. Since he's in the Bible, I'd like to know what it says, but I don't expect to be here when he's around. Incidentally, it says this king will do according to his will. There are not many people in life that get to carry out their will very far, are there? Adolf Hitler tried it for a little while, and in this country, nobody gets to do his own will very far. If he's an outstanding Christian and yields to God, he submits to the will of God. Mr. Reagan is finding right now, or he's found many times, and he couldn't when he went in the office, that he couldn't do everything he wanted to because there's a Congress and a Senate. And for a short time, God is going to let a man do his will. And I'll tell you, men can't be trusted. We all know this. There used to be a woman that I've heard her say it at different times, it's a good thing I'm not God. The way she said it, I would agree. But for a short time, this self-willed personality will be permitted to do his will. What would you say of verse 40 of chapter 11? Very probable. In Isaiah's day, it may have been the Assyrian host that was going to come in. But in the end time, there are hints there that it refers definitely to the end time, like the covenant with hell and death. That's in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. And no doubt it will point to that. And all of these forces are going to come in against the Antichrist. His Peace and Safety League isn't going to last very long. I marvel at our country more than anything else that we still trust Russia. Don't you marvel at it? It seems almost strange. Sometimes I think some of our men are just pawns in the hands of those rascals. How does Daniel describe this point of time? Yes. Will it ever have a parallel, or has it ever had a parallel or an equal? Who will fight for the people of God according to this chapter? What is he called here? Someone else speak up. The great prince. They used to say about pugilists, somebody's in their corner. Well, it's going to be good to have Michael in their corner. Where else do we also have we read of him in this guise? Anyone? Revelation 12. He will be commissioned of God to get Satan out of heaven. What great day is emphasized in Daniel? Yes. Now, I'm sure you know that the day of the Lord is not a 24-hour day, aren't you? It's a period of time. In fact, it covers the millennial age. But there is that terrible phase of it, which will be unparalleled judgment. There's the day of God, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ. These particularly are different. When Paul says the day of man, our translators obscured it by translating it the day man's judgment. But it means man's day. The Greek is man's day. Did Daniel know that the vision was not for him, that is, that he wouldn't see its fulfillment? Yes, what unwelcome revelation did he receive from the vision? Yes, that he wouldn't be around, that is, he wouldn't live to see this coming. But what else was revealed to him at that point? Now, this is about as far as we got last week. I'm going to mark this time, and then I won't have to depend on my faltering memory to ask you where we are. Last week, I dwelt on chapter 2, verse 2 a bit. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Do you know how much time will be between those two resurrections? None of the rest of the dead lived again until the 1,000 years were finished. I copied this from Williams of the Moody Institute, translated this, not Dr. Williams. He wrote a book, Great Doctrines of the Bible. Maybe it was Williams, I don't remember. But here's the way he translated it. Many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake. And he says, literally, those who awake at that time to everlasting life, and some, literally, those who do not awake at that time to shame and everlasting contempt. That's in his book, The Great Doctrines of the Bible. Now, there will be a resurrection of every man, and people get down silly, and they ask questions that men couldn't straighten out. We had a young man in our meeting during the war, and he was a Navy pilot. And he said a man overshot the ship one day, and his plane hit the water, and they sent a boat after him, and just before the boat reached him, a huge fish pulled him under, and they never saw him again. Now, how will he be resurrected? Now, you see, that's a puzzle to me because of my peanut brain and my total lack of power. To God, it isn't even peanuts. The God that made Adam and all of us spring from him, from the dust of the earth, and breathed into his nostrils, every one of us have the life that coursed through the veins of Adam. And just look around at some of the little things that God has done. It is said that one of the great infidels was criticizing the universe. He said, I can make a better one myself. Bob Ingersoll was supposedly said that in one of his sins. Said, Bob, why don't you start with a grain of wheat? No man has ever successfully made a grain of wheat, as small as that is, or a pea, or any kind of a seed that would grow. They keep experimenting, but they experiment with what God has already made. But there will be a resurrection. God knows where every man is. God knows where every man is that has ever been. God has his complete record, totally. And Jesus had this to say in John 5. I'll just read this to you. 28th verse of John 5. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This brings out one of the great interesting points of the Bible. You have to have the whole Bible. We have to go clear to the book of Revelation. There are these two statements of resurrection, but we have to go clear to the book of Revelation to find that there is 1,000 years between the resurrection of the righteous and the wicked in their resurrections. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The knowledge of the Bible has been increased, but as I told you, this word translated to and fro means to beat the waves, to lash the sea with oars. That was the way they traveled then. You have heard of the galley slaves, or a boat was taken across the sea by a whole group of men at the oars. And I dwelt on how knowledge is increased. I had to take my son-in-law to the hospital last night. If I'd have been in his place, I wouldn't have gone, but I wasn't in his place. And I thought there was a young woman there. I thought possibly she could have been an intern. She had great long earrings on. When the nurse left, I said, what is she? She said, oh, she's an emergency room physician. She's specially trained to give medicine in emergencies. I didn't know there was such creature. But anyway, he didn't get by without just about every kind of examination that was in the book. Well, knowledge is increased. They brought a machine in and gave him an an EKG, and ever so many tests. But anyway, well, we are watching closely this case out in Utah, the man with the artificial heart, as we watch the transplants of the various organs. This has all been in the last 15 and 20 years. And the things that men have done in that field. When I was growing up, there was one modern home in the whole community. I can remember when electricity came to our town. One of my uncles, who was an electrician, wired the schoolhouse. I remember when water came to our town. I watched them dig the ditches with a power machine. And one man in our part of the country decided to put in water in his home. He went broke. He was out in the country, had a good farm and a good home. He tried to go modern. He tried to get ahead of his times. And he was the only man that had water in his house in all the farming community. And in town, they didn't have it either. My uncle moved to a place and he got suspicious of the water. Draw it with a well and a bucket and a rope. And he sent it to this Oklahoma City and had it tested, and they condemned the well. The owner had to dig a new well. It had typhoid in it. I don't know what made him get suspicious, but he did. Now I'm not too ancient, and how things have changed along that line, just along that line. And transportation. I remember the first airplane I ever saw, the first car I ever rode in. When I was about 12 or 14 years old, a pilot had trouble and landed about a mile from a country school, and the teacher turned out school and marched all the students down there a mile to see that plane. And just check back on your dates. What a short time ago when an electric icebox was absolutely a marvel. A deep freeze. An electric washing machine. I remember the first relative that I ever had that bought a powered washing machine. Everybody did his laundry on the rub board. Along every line, knowledge has been increased. And somebody cracked a joke about the Indian people. White men hunt deer with bows. He said when the guns came along, the Indians threw the bow away and the white men picked them up. And you take any line, especially in the last few years, there's a town in Russia, I believe it's 3,000 people. Everybody that lives there is a scientist. Television. I remember going to some people's home when my children were small, and we never had a television at that time, and I have one in the home that my wife bought, but it broke, and she decided that my son had given us one, and she broke it, and he gave her another one. She broke it, and then she went to his house and broke his, and then she bought one, and it broke. So we gave it up as a bad deal, and I thank God that they broke. There can't be any sin in a piece of furniture, but it can take an awful lot of time if you will let it. And another thing it did to me, a lot of times when I wanted to study, somebody had it on. But I started to say in the late 40s, I took my children to somebody's home and they had on a Western, and it was wild and woolly, and they all got up and left the room. They got scared. But a little boy said, I wish we had something new. We've had television all my life, but it's such a young thing. The first time I ever heard of a radio, I flatly didn't believe. And a family in our community got a radio, and that was the gathering center for the community for some little time. Now that, just in one lifetime, my father in the mountains of Tennessee drove oxen. I've ridden many miles behind an ox cart in other parts of the world. But if you started down the streets in Kansas City in an ox cart, you wouldn't get to first base, you'd get run over. But I just speak of the knowledge that has come in our time. And if things continue, we're probably just on the verge of things. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, to me, this is one of the great signs of the end. Now, you think about it for a moment. Moses gave to the Levites the 6 covered wagons with the oxen that the princes, the 12 tribes, gave way back in the book of Leviticus. And up till the turn of this century, people were still traveling in ox carts. And in the last 80 years, everything has turned around. We drove from Tulsa to Weston one time and to a convention. We took between 6 and 8 hours to make the trip. I would say about 6 hours. There was no speed limit then. It's only about 300 miles. And we spent the night in a man's home, and he told us that in 1911, he had driven a wagon from Tulsa to Weston. I've forgotten whether he said it took him 11 or 30 days. And now you would get on a plane to Kansas City, and you would scarcely get your seat belt fastened or unfastened till they'd say, we'll be on the ground in a few minutes. We caught a plane in Frankfurt, Germany, and almost kept up with the sun. We left there around 4, got to Chicago about 9. Now, we didn't travel in those few hours. We were coming west. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, an interesting sight, and I have puzzled over that. Why were they standing in this position? I don't have an answer to the question. If I did, I wouldn't have asked it, perhaps. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now, here the wonders are the Great Tribulation, those that are going to be raised from the dead, and so on. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. Of course, this doesn't include the wicked dead. When he held up his right hand and his left unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, and times, and a half a time. Now let's pause on this time, times, and half a time. Elsewhere in the scriptures, such a period is called 42 months. Then it is called 1,260 days. It's called, we call it, 3.5 years. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Notice the word finished in the last part of the 7th verse, the word end in this verse, and the word end in the 9th verse. And then going back to the 6th verse, the end of these wonders. So, do you know what the Greek word for last things is? It's eschatos. And in the study of theology, it would come under the heading of eschatology. This would cover the coming of Christ, the resurrection, the judgment of the wicked. In other words, last things. And I heard, but I understood not. What shall be the end of these things? And Daniel is dismissed from his service. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now we believe, inasmuch as we feel that we understand these words, we have a lot of revelation that Daniel didn't have, that we will have, or that this is another indication that we're at the end time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now notice this, we'll come to this in a few moments. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now let's use an illustration. Here, the daily sacrifice will be taken away. Here, the abomination will be set up. There will be this 3.5 years plus 30 days in between that. We mark this extra 30 days because it's very important. We will see that on the chart in a few minutes. It will be especially a starting point, and we call your attention to the daily sacrifice. We won't get into this right now, but in a few moments we will. And notice the abomination that maketh desolate. Now back in the 9th chapter and the 27th verse, such an important verse. He shall confirm the covenant. Now this word confirm is interesting. It means to make strong or mighty, make valid. It means to exert strength. And I gather from this that there's going to be pressure. Now, at first, the Antichrist is going to have to show his diplomacy. It's as if somebody's going to go into Senate for the first time. He knows he has a lot on the ball. He knows that he can be dominant. He knows that eventually he can dominate things. But at first, he's going to have to be very diplomatic. And you'll remember now, I have mentioned this before, that over here from Jerusalem, there is Mecca and Medina, the holy cities of Mohammedanism, and not very far away. And across west is Rome, which will be the headquarters of the woman on the back of the beast in Revelation 17 and 18. And then there will be Jerusalem, which is headquarters for Judaism, and eventually the Lord's headquarters. And when the beast comes, he's going to have to do some maneuvering to get into position. And in this 27th chapter, he's going to make a firm covenant. with the Jews. It's a very strong covenant. For 1 week, he'll probably affirm, I will protect you. And when Germany attacked the Poles on Labor Day, 1939, Britain and France had a mutual assistance pact with Poland. And so right quick, they got in the fray. Well, perhaps that is what will be here. And then notice in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, here's the way I think of this. You'll notice this mentions all sacrifices being stopped. In Daniel 12, we just mention one sacrifice, the daily sacrifice. Now, there will probably be pressures being brought to bear from other religious bodies. Don't let those Jews go ahead. So he will talk them into giving up their daily sacrifice. Now, go ahead and keep your annual feasts. But give these up, give this up. And that's basic, and in my opinion, could easily be the most important of the sacrifices, unless it would be the sacrifice on the great day of atonement. But that came once a year, and this was twice a day, and on the Sabbath twice. We'll show you about it in a few moments. And then in the middle of the week, when he has made up his mind that he's going to show himself as God, if you're going to worship me, I can't let you be sacrificing to that God. That's why he'll destroy the woman of Revelation 17 and 18. And that's why he'll want to destroy the Jew, that the devil will inspire him. And so much for the daily sacrifice. We'll come back to this in a little while. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the thousand. Now this will be on the other end of the 7 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, or thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel is assured of his place in the future, and I'm sure he'll be there shouting like Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. It'll be all for right now. He